This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
And welcome to the Lombardi Line, presented by MGM, Dave Ross, alongside the man himself, Michael Lombardi, for the next couple of hours. And Michael, we've got a great show for you this Wednesday. Of course, we're going to talk all about the Vikings and the Steelers coming up here tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football. So Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings.
My man, Paul Allen.
I know
you got to know, I love me some Paul Allen. Now, Paul Allen is just tremendous. I mean, he's the biggest Daryl Hall and John Oates fan. I mean, we should, you know, it's so perfect to have Paul Allen on this show. I mean, he appreciates Hall and Oates more than I do.
And you appreciate Paul. So do I, by the way. I like Hall and Oates as well. I can't tell them apart which one is Hall, which one is Oates. I know that you and Paul could do that better than I. Vinny Maiulo is going to join us next hour as well from Gone Gaming right here at South Point. And then Lou Finicaro is going to join us in the final hour talking all things UFC 269. Michael, I know you're not a big UFC guy, but it's a fantastic card this weekend.
I'm excited. Look, as long as we can make some money, that's the goal here of the network, is to try to help people, you know, get enough information to make right, to make the correct bet. So I hope they do it.
Absolutely. And I got a couple long shots. I won't tell you now, but maybe later on in the show, that I kind of think might come through on Saturday night. But let's get right to it, Michael, here. Speaking of trying to find some value, when you look at the playoff picture here, and certainly we'll go in the AFC and the NFC, and you try to find true value that might still be left on the board here, potentially to go ahead and win those respective conferences going forward. And certainly, you got to look at the divisional leaders here and the wild card teams that are still in play with possibly pathways to either winning their division and or winning the conference. And let's start off in the AFC. And obviously, you know, I think we all wrote off the Steelers when they were 1-4. They're still in the hunt here with that big Thursday night tilt coming up against the Vikings at 6-5-1. You see the wild card leaders right there, and certainly the divisional leaders. Right now, the Patriots are the number one seed in the AFC. So I do wonder, is there a team here that might not be leading their respective division that you think, Michael, and I think the one that stands out is always the Buffalo Bills here at 7-5,
yeah,
right? As a team that could still make the long run and if not represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, Buffalo's going to have to prove that they can play a physical game. I mean, look, the other night, it's another team that's run for over 200 yards on them. And you know what I was saying today, I did Chicago radio, and we were talking about the difference in this year than ever. And I think that game on Monday night was kind of symbolic of what we're going to expect. First of all, the NFL season doesn't end until January 9th, okay? Just let's put things in proper perspective here. In 1967, the Ice Bowl, the coldest game in the NFL, one of the coldest games, was played on New Year's Eve. That was the end of the season. And then 2 weeks later, they played the Super Bowl in January. I mean, literally, if you're the number one seed, you will not play your first game till sometime mid of January. What do you think Green Bay's weather is going to be like in the middle of January? What do you think Cincinnati's weather is going to be like? Kansas City, Baltimore, New England? In the middle of January, you're not getting a 70 degree sunny day for all the West Coast offensive people that want to just go out there and run plays. You're going to have a hard game. And so for me, I think weather is such a dynamic in this. And so it leads me back to Buffalo. Buffalo has built a team with a very good quarterback who's improved every single year, proved me wrong in terms of improving his accuracy. But what they don't have is a physical team. They're little. If you go back and watch the tape of that game, they got pushed around. They got pushed around by Indianapolis. They got pushed around by a team that they knew were going to run the football on them, and they still were able to do it. Matt Milano's not a big man. Ed Oliver's not a big man. They're not a big physical team. I think that's going to be the biggest issue. When they play the Chiefs or they play somebody who's more finesse, they'll play well. But when they play power, especially as weather turns, I think that's the problem. That leads me to a team that I would play based on that chart, and that team would be in the Indianapolis Colts. I think that they have the kind of makeup of a team that can play indoors and play outdoors effectively.
16-1 right now for the Colts to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl here. So pretty good value here. And to your point, Michael, they've played some of the heavy hitters, and obviously they didn't beat Tampa Bay when they had them at home, but they did lead at the half, and that was certainly a competitive game. So against some of the best competition that you've seen, not just in the AFC, but in the NFL as a whole, you do think the Colts are on par potentially with the best in the AFC here?
I think they could beat anyone on any given Sunday, yes. I worry about Wentz. I call Wentz Ricky Fowler because when it really matters the most, when it matters the most, he falls apart. You know, Ricky Fowler can shoot, you know, 75 opening day of Augusta, and then on Friday he'll shoot 64, and all of a sudden, where was that Ricky Fowler from, you know?
Right.
And then on Saturday when he's right back in contention, the grip gets a little tighter, the putts start to go right, you know, and CBS shows him on Saturday morning and we see him off the first tee, and then, you know, by the fourth hole, we don't even know where Ricky Fowler is. We can't find him. We never see him hit another ball again for the rest of the day. That reminds me of Carson Wentz a little bit. That's why a week from Saturday when they play the Patriots at home, that's going to be a game where Wentz is going to have to make some plays and not do dumb things like we've seen him do all year, Dave. I mean, he's turned the ball over ridiculously, trying to run the over the alley-oop passes and, you know, shuffle, throwing the ball in the end zone and all that stuff. So for me, I hold my judgment. If I were making the bet here based on our board, I would put very little money, 16-1. I don't see them winning the Super Bowl. I don't see them getting to the Super Bowl. But I think they're a team right now that's on the outside of the playoffs looking in, and I think they could get there.
Don't get me started on Ricky Fowler. I did not know that analogy was coming today. But let me just say this. I've said for years, Mike.
Oh, that's been my guy. Ricky Fowler, I think you probably won't recognize either guy. You know, if Wentz and Fowler were in the room at the same time, you wouldn't know who it is.
You were right on. Because I will say this. He's always there on Sunday at Augusta to shake the winner's hand. He's great at that.
For it.
He's
can't
always there
it.
In no. camera shot. He's can't always there.
It. Can't wait. Can't wait. He should be a coast at the casinos. I mean, really. Come on in. Come on in. Play the slots, please. Hey, come on in. Hello. You know, whatever happened to grit and like, okay, I'm going to kick your butt.
How about winning something? I'm right there with you. Just win something, Ricky, and we'll see if the Colts can win something this year with Carson Wentz. Can I interest you in the Titans at 10-1? And I know right now, without Derrick Henry, they don't look like the same football team. I always say they have a great wide receiver playing quarterback who's done a really good job of resurrecting his career. I love their coach, and Mike Vrabel, speaking of tough, we know he's going to be tough, and he's going to be there. The weather could get dicey in Tennessee in January. Do you think at 10-1 they're a live dog here?
You know, I do. I think, look, the one thing we do know is they're never going to maybe Henry comes back, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But if they could find a way to kind of get some balance in their offense to run the ball, you know, they're going to compete. They're going to play good in all three phases. So I do think they have an advantage. Do I think the Colts could catch them? They're two games behind them right now, you know. And, you know, Tennessee, you know, they have an ability. You know, this week they have Jacksonville. They shouldn't lose that game at home. And when you look at their schedule, they should be able to. But they do have some tough games coming down the road. And, you know, they're going to have to, you know, they beat Indianapolis twice, but they got Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Miami, and then they got Houston again. How can't they win? How right. can't they win this thing out? Like, they should beat Jacksonville. They go into Pittsburgh. Look, I think this week, Thursday night game features two teams that are almost good. They're just not good enough. And Pittsburgh's one of those teams. You know, and so they could beat Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh. San Francisco at home could be a tough game. Miami's playing better, and then they get Houston at the end of the year. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, they're going to win at least two, probably three of those games, and they're 3-2 down the stretch. That makes them, you know, 11-6.
Yeah, they've got a shot, and I'd love to see them get back Derrick Henry. Obviously, we never root for injuries, and when you're one of the elite players in the league, it's taken away. Let's see if they can hold on and maybe get him back for that postseason run. That'd be exciting to see. Very quickly, let's flip it over to the NFC here. And again, obviously the Cardinals right now at 10-2, they still right now have the best record in all of football. The Packers nipping at their heels at 9-3, so are the Buccaneers at 9-3, and the Cowboys still leading the NFC East at 8-4. But that could be tenuous with Washington right now getting in the mix at 6-6 with winners of four in a row. Is there a team there that you would identify with decent odds? I look at the Cowboys at +600. I'm a bit of a homer there. Is that not good enough value? Because, again, they've been kind of Jekyll and Hyde here down the stretch.
Yeah, I think they are good value at 600. I really do, David. I mean, they have been Jekyll and Hyde, but they haven't been healthy either. There's a reason for their inconsistent performance. And as long as you've got those weapons that can do something, I think you've got to seriously give them some consideration. I mean, I would prefer Dallas over the Rams. I mean, I know the Rams won 37-7 last week, but I wasn't convinced that they played all that good last week. I was really disappointed in their I just don't see it. I know Sonny Michel ran the ball well, but I don't see that. We're going to find out a lot more against the Cardinals this week when they travel to Phoenix. So I like that play. I do. I like Dallas. I mean, I don't trust Washington. We're going to know more about Washington this week. I'm not buying them yet. I mean, I think they're good. They've improved. I think they're where they should be. I think they're a 9-8 type of team. And then after that, I don't see it. Now, here in Philadelphia, they would all play Philadelphia because with Gardner Minshew and the greatest team in America, yeah, we're ready to go. We got, you know, I was in Philly yesterday. They've got I could see the parade ground already.
You know, he won me over there with the Top Gun look that he had and the hug with his dad afterward. I get all mushy for that sort of thing, Michael. So I'm glad they're at least excited about this Eagles team. But very quickly to that point, is that Jalen Hurts' job? I mean, you know all the chatter there in Philadelphia. Are they ready to turn it over and sign Gardner Minshew to an extension?
I think it's Jalen Hurts' job. And I think that, look, you know, they're going to try to look, they might be able to maximize Hurts' value. I mean, look, a lot of teams are going to need quarterbacks. I mean, I find it hard to believe that Gardner Minshew was available for so long and nobody jumped all over. I just don't understand it. It just goes back to the inability of people to truly evaluate quarterbacking and quarterbacking play. I thought, really, I've often said this and I'm on record, I thought there's very little difference between Gardner Minshew and Baker Mayfield other than one guy was picked the first pick overall and the other guy was picked in the fifth round.
Right. I mean, you know exactly better than most how those narratives play out, right? Well, Baker's the number one pick, so he's got to be better. No.
Got to be great.
Right. I mean, we saw that with Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin III in Washington, D.C., and I was there with
no doubt.
One guy was the number two pick overall, and the other guy's a fourth-round draft pick. One guy's still playing, and the other guy's writing a book about his time in D.C. So it's going to be very interesting to see how those narratives play out because of where they were drafted, certainly. When we come back, Michael, I got to pick your brain about coaches on the hot seat and what GMs are really looking for, whether or not they should bring them back or not. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on a Wednesday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Season. It's time to download BetMGM Sports. It's Nevada's premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today or stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Dave Ross back alongside Michael Lombardi on the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. And Michael, it's always great to have your thoughts, certainly from a front office perspective, because when you hear quotes like this from the Texans GM, Nick Caserio, in evaluating the current head coach, David Culley, this is what he said. Quote, he's not going to make any comments on what's happening after the season when asked whether or not Culley will be back in 2022. So I do wonder, that seems like the safe thing to say publicly, right? That, hey, this is going to be an internal matter, and we're not going to comment on that publicly. But internally, Michael, what would they need to see from somebody like David Culley to say, yeah, this is the right guy leading this ship?
Well, I think you need to see progress, right? And the word, the buzz through the National Football League and talking to the people that I talk to, they think Culley could be one and done. They think, and that these comments lead me to believe that he could be one and done. I mean, because if you're the general manager and you're talking to the media during the season, which you should never do, because you're only going to get in trouble by doing that. The only spokesman for the team during the season should be the head coach. It's his team. Your job in the off season to speak, not during the season. And now you've trapped yourself into thinking, okay, I didn't give him an endorsement. I didn't say he was going to get fired, but certainly without an endorsement, he's going to get fired. And so I think that, to me, that was a mistake by Nick. Look, there's been no progress, and I've defended the Texans earlier in the year. I said, look, they have a roster that's not good, but they're not the worst team in football. And when they played Jacksonville, it was proven correct. However, since then, they've just started liquidating all the best players. In fact, today they're cutting Zach Cunningham, one of their inside linebackers, who, you know, was a good player for them a couple of years. I'm sure he'll get claimed right away. But to me, I don't know how you can blame Culley. You hired Culley. Did you help Culley? Is the defense plays hard as hell. They play hard for Lovie Smith. They're not very good, but they play hard. Now you're going to change schemes again and fire the coach? I'm not sure what the plan is down in Texas. I think they better make sure the owner's on board with the plan, because I've seen this happen before. You keep changing the plan, the owner changes you.
Right. Michael, it's so interesting, and I know it's a correlation here in NBA and the NFL. I saw Steve Kerr make his comments where he said basically, you know, it's about building a culture, and the culture is only as good enough if it withstands losing, not just winning. Is that true right. also in the NFL? That really, if it's just, yes, it's, you got to win. It's a results-oriented league. It should be that way. But if you can't sustain it in the down times, then do you really have the culture?
You know, I think culture is built for down times. It's belief. It's we're doing this. It's Monday in Buffalo, and we're going to run the ball every play, and no one complains. No one comes out and says, I had a bad day. And no one says, why didn't they get me the ball? You know, no one complains about it. Everybody just sits there. Go back to the locker room and listen to Matthew Slater put the team together and talk to the team afterwards. That's culture. Mm. Culture is never anything you can actually see, you actually feel. You see it in the behavior of the people within it. And when you're losing, even if you're losing and you keep coming back, you can see the culture building. That's the one thing I haven't seen in Houston is, are they building a good culture? Yeah. They think they needed to do all the changes, but I haven't seen them really build the culture. So for me, I'm not sold on that.
It's interesting, too, because the matchup this week for Houston is Seattle, right? And so you look at Pete Carroll, a guy who went to back-to-back Super Bowls and obviously won one, came within a yard of winning back-to-back Super Bowls here. And you wonder if that's what Pete has created in Seattle or if that is starting to disintegrate through all of this time, because they are having a down season here at 4-8 going up against those 2-10 Texans this week. Do you see that parallel there with Pete in Seattle? Is he a guy that has enough cred, if you will, credits in the bank to say, you know, we can withstand a down year like we're having this year?
Well, I mean, you know, he won last year, and a lot of people are down on Pete, but he has had a history of winning. I don't like his team. I think they've made some really tactical mistakes. Today they put Jamal Adams on IR. I mean, you know, to give up two number ones for a box safety that can only rush the passer, that plays the run like a linebacker, I mean, I thought that was ridiculous. I think he's one of the most overrated players in all of football. Mm. You know, and to pay him what they paid him, to me, I didn't think it was a prudent move at all. So, you know, and then, you know, they made a change on the offensive side of the ball, and I was told reliably that really Russell wanted, this is his guy. Shane Waldron's his guy, and he's not playing well for Shane. So there's some issues there. So I think, to me, Pete's got to be able to, when the season's over, say, here's what went wrong, here's how I'm going to fix it. And if those answers really aren't in line, then maybe there's something else that you've got to fix.
All right, right now, Seattle, 8-point favorites on the road against Houston. But I want to look at the total here at 42, because our producer, Matt Santos, has painstakingly gone through and found trends, Michael, that would lead you to believe that this has got to be a dead underplay. We also saw that Pete Carroll said this week he's going to run the ball a lot this week. He's going to let his running backs compete for playing time. That was per the Seattle Times, okay? The under right now is 4-0 in Seattle's last four games following an ATS win. That's the spot they come in. Under is 4-0 in Seattle's last four games as a favorite. Here they are again. Under is 4-0 Seattle's last four against a team with a losing record. Clearly, that is where Houston is. Under 6-0 in the Seahawks' last six road games. And the list goes on and on for these underplays, and they actually correlate with the Texans. And when you look at the Texans, under is 4-0 in their last four games overall. 4-0 in the Texans' last four games following a straight-up loss of more than 14 points. 6-1 in the last seven games in week 14. I know that seems like possibly an outlier here. But when you look at all these correlated numbers to the under, Michael, do you go, boy, I can't buck those trends, and I got to follow that play and lean to the under here?
I think you have to lean under here. Davis Mills is going to be the starting quarterback. And we've seen Houston's offense with Davis Mills. You know, he's just not ready to play. And this offensive line for Houston's not ready to protect him. Couldn't protect Tyrod Taylor. Poor Tyrod Taylor's got a wrist injury. Early in the year, Tyrod Taylor was playing well. He wasn't hit that much. But now he's not, because he's gotten the crap beat out of him. Mm. And then I think when you look at Seattle last week, they moved the ball more effectively than I've ever seen them move the ball. I don't know why Pete's all upset. You know, they actually had a really good offense. They ran for 146 yards last week, which was really impressive against San Francisco. They had one of their best days offensively. You'd have to go back to when they played the Rams, and they were behind in that game quite a bit to find an offensive performance. performance that was as good as last week. So, you know, unless you think Seattle's going to do all the scoring, which I don't think they are, the number's 42. I think Seattle's going to score 42. I can't imagine Houston scoring more than 10. I think it's a, you know, most of it's going to be is a 20-10 game, 24-10 game. That's the under for me.
Yeah, and again, Evie, if you want a bigger sample size here, in their last 26 games overall, obviously dating back to last year, they've played 19 of those games to the under. 7-3, the Seahawks, last 10, following a straight-up win. So there are a lot of trends here that would look to the under in that game. And very quickly, back to Seattle for men. It has gone up from 6.5 to 8 here. Michael, I look at these spots sometimes where I get nervy on the road. We got a layover or a touchdown. Do you like the teaser play and then you just have to find another dance partner here with Seattle and drop that down to 2?
You know, I think I don't give out teasers. You know, I don't, obviously, I just give out recommendations. Mm-hmm. I never really get into that teaser moment because it's too hard for me to really. But in this case, I think Seattle will win the game. And I think if you tease this number down below the 3, it's a really good play for you. You know, and I think you've got to believe that Seattle's going to win the game. You know, it's a little bit like, to me, teasers are like making sure you're the coach at the end of a game, that it just doesn't get into field goal range. You want to make the field goal, right? You know, this is a big problem in the NFL. Well, we're in field goal range. I mean, Ron Rivera was in field goal range last week against the Vegas team. He made the field goal, but it was a worrisome, right? Like, I don't want to be in field goal. I want to make the field goal. I want to guarantee we make the field goal. So when I would do a teaser, I would want to guarantee that I know this team is going to win. And I know that's hard. There's no guarantees in football. But to me, Seattle against this Houston team, which is really declining with each rapid week, you know, I mean, Tennessee, if you put Tennessee and Jack and Seattle in a teaser, those are two teams that I expect to win on Sunday.
Yeah, that's exactly the where, because again, you always have to find that second dance partner if you do that standard 6-point tease here. But again, to your point, Michael, with that line move from 6.5 up to 8, you see that Vegas is going to start trying to protect themselves and watch to see if that number gets even north of 8, because you get that up to 9, and then your teaser value is kind of gone.
Yeah.
If we're talking about in that field goal range, that's the danger.
You know, and someone told me this yesterday, and it's right. I mean, it's called teaser protection. Books are smart too. They got to protect themselves against these teasers too.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly why you're seeing that line move go north of 8 right now, or 2-8 right now, and possibly keep going up in a way. All right, Michael, we have much more to get to. Obviously, we're going to have Paul Allen join us a little bit later on. We're going to break down everything on that Thursday night tilt between the Vikings and the Steelers. But when we come back, we will look at the Lions, because they're going to be on the road against the Broncos here. And some of these games that maybe you haven't thought about that Michael has, and we'll get his line and see if there's some value in those lines. Come on back. It is the Lombardi Line right here. Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The VSiN Bowl Betting Guide is almost here with everything you need to bet smarter in every single bowl matchup. This year's guide provides matchup analysis on all 41 bowl games, including insights, trends, data, and predictions to help you with your very best bets. This guide is designed to give you an edge, whether you're betting on every game, playing contests, or just want to find a few key high-value prop scenarios. The guide drops December 13th. Make sure to get your copy today for only $19.99. At VSiN.com/subscribe. Dave Ross alongside Michael Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. And Michael, there's a couple teams out there, and one of them in particular, the Detroit Lions. Now, we know the biting kneecaps only have one win. They also have a tie, and they got that win last week at the expense of the Minnesota Vikings. But they are 8-4 ATS on the year. So if you've been backing those Lions financially, they've been coming through for you for the majority here. Now they're going to get about 8.5 points right now. It's what it opened, but that line's come down a little bit here. So the Lions have been taking a little bit of the money against Denver. Can you trust them going on the road against Mile High this weekend?
You know, I think it'll be a hard game. I mean, Denver's defense is good. I mean, they played well last week. They're finally healthy in their secondary, you know, and they're able to cover. And I think they'll put some pressure, unlike what Minnesota did against Jared Goff, and create some problems. And, you know, I worry about Denver's offense. You know, Denver's offense to me is stagnant. It doesn't throw the ball up the field. Teddy is not really making play. They can run it, though, and I think you can run it on the Lions. And the Lions put pressure on Cousins last week, partly because they had some backup linemen in the game. But, I am not ever on the fighting kneecap side. I think it's one of the fallacies in my betting advice to giving to people is I have a hard time when I see bad, I have a hard time equating bad to be able to cover. You know, I think right. It's a hard thing for me. And I would lean towards Denver here, and that's why I kind of rely on my numbers. I think you have to kind of rely on numbers in this situation. And in this game, you know, going into this game, I have Denver. I have it as a 5.47 game, which would lead me to I have to play Detroit. And I'll take probably – it would take me 3 or 4 days to get over the hump to play Detroit. But for me and my numbers, when I have a number like last week, you know, Houston was the number to play. There's no way I was playing Houston. There's no chance.
Right.
You know, Jacksonville was the number to play. There was no way I was playing Jacksonville. Like, sometimes you've got to use logic, the desperation of the team that they're playing. I think Denver would be a desperate team and would attack Detroit fairly well here.
Very quickly to that end, to our last discussion we had, Michael, about what GMs are looking for and head coaches. Vic Fangio has been an interesting case study this year,
yeah.
Right? Now, obviously, you think this should be a must-win to stay in the playoff hunt here in the AFC. Do you think Vic has shown you enough as an executive to say, all right, let's stay the course. It might not be as pretty as I want it to look, but at least we're competitive?
I don't know. I think in Vic's defense, they've never really let him be the head coach. He's been the defensive coordinator, and they've subcontracted everything out, and their team looks like that. They have no symmetry on offense at all. They don't play complementary football. And their offense, I think, probably needs a makeover as well. They're going to need to get somebody to come in to develop and coach a quarterback. Is that going to be Pat Shurmur? I think that's the question you start and end with. I think Denver's probably headed for some changes. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I just think it's been unfair for Vic in the sense that he's not really been a head coach. He's been more of just a defensive coordinator. And he's been privy to who he's had on offense. You know, he hired Rich, I forget his last name, from San Francisco, who went there, and then he went to Philly, and now he's back at San Francisco as his first offense coordinator. That was a disaster. And then the last 2 years with Shurmur, they haven't had a quarterback.
Right.
They just haven't had a quarterback. So it's been very challenging.
Let's talk about the Bears. And, again, they might be head coach hunting at the end of this year, too, if Matt Nagy doesn't figure out the magic elixir here down the stretch. But a 4-8 football team against the Packers right now fighting for that one spot in the NFC at 9-3. It's a big number that you got to lay with Green Bay. But they are 10-2 ATS this year. They've been really good, certainly when Aaron Rodgers plays, missing that one game in Kansas City. Look, Michael, you know me. I just came from Chicago there after 8 years of watching Aaron Rodgers destroy this team. I don't know how you back Chicago in this spot, but what do the numbers tell you?
I don't know how you back Chicago either. This is one of those. Now, my numbers tell me that I have it as a 10.56 game. I think the line's still at 9.5 now. What is the line now, 9.5?
Yeah, it's come down a little bit here, but it opened up at 12.5 here. So it opened up above that, and it's really kind of stayed close to that number throughout the week.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have it. It's a 12.5 still line. I'm wrong on the line. It's 12.5. You know, to me, I don't see how they're going to keep it close. I mean, the front office wants them to play Justin Fields. You can't play Justin Fields up there on a Sunday night. I mean, I think it's going to be really hard for him. So, I would lean towards Green Bay and laying the points here. Rodgers, I know he's got the broken little toe, but I think he can do damage. And look, the Bears just haven't been able to play great pass defense at all. I mean, last week, my man Kyler Murray only had to throw for a $123.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he had to do.
It
was easy for him.
Yeah, I was on the Bears last week, and I got what I deserved by backing a bad football team. And
I think I call that Coke machine betting. Like, I think you bet things that just don't make sense,
right?
You know? And I think that's really the problem. I think I know you want to be. Last week was a really interesting week in the sense that of the 12 games, 9 of those 12 games, the money was dramatically split. Like, there was just 90% on one team and nothing on the other team. And you don't always want to be on the side of the public, but there's sometimes it isn't the worst place to be, particularly when you're getting some bad teams in there.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, speaking of some bad teams, the Giants right now certainly look like a bad football team at 4-8, taking on the Chargers, a team that kind of hard to figure out here, but they figured it out last week in Cincinnati. They are now 7-5. And this line has moved dramatically. Michael, you know exactly why, because the quarterback issues here for the Giants with Danny Dimes, he's going to miss the game with his neck situation. Mike Glennon's got he's in concussion protocol. They just had Clayton Thorson, the Northwestern great, I put that in air quotes. Jake Fromm looks like he's going to be in line to make the start for New York here. So this line has jumped up to 10.5 for the Chargers. But that's a hard team to trust week in and week out. What do you make of this one?
Well, I mean, that's a hard team to trust. But, I mean, how can't they beat a team with Jake Fromm at quarterback by 10.5 points? I mean, where's New York going to get their offense? I mean, last week, you know, with Mike Glennon, they couldn't get offense. And typically with Daniel Jones, they don't get offense. You know, they're not an explosive team when they have their starters. And that's the only thing that I think we have to consider all the time is, like, are they any good when they have their starters in there offensively? And the answer is no. They don't really move the ball effectively. I mean, look at the Giants. I mean, when you break down their team and you break down their year this year, when have they been explosive? I mean, they scored 29 against Washington. It took them they scored 27 in overtime. You know, the Panthers, they turned the ball over by the Panthers. They scored 25, but I don't see them scoring very many points. They scored 23 against the Raiders, and, you know, we know that six of those came on a pass, on an interception. The last 3 weeks, they've scored 10, 13, and 9. I mean, and I know they fired the offensive coordinator and Coach Garrett, who's up for the Duke job. I hope he gets that job. I would love to see Coach Garrett coaching at Duke. I would love to see that. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out.
You know, you stole my thunder there. I was going to ask you about if you thought that was a good fit for Garrett, because I'm right there with you. It just seems like the right fit here for, you know, a pretty smart guy, cerebral guy, and Jason Garrett to go to a cerebral school there at Duke with David Cutcliffe set to retire there. Why do you think that makes sense?
I think Cutcliffe's shoes are bigger to fill than you think. Mm-hmm. I think that job at Duke is really about evaluating the quarterback, understanding how to play, and how to evaluate talent and fit the talent into the scheme. It's a hard school to get kids into, you know, but you can do it. It can be done. I mean, Steve Spurrier won there at one time.
Right.
So, you know, and Northwestern with Pat Fitzgerald, they win. I mean, you just have to have a long-range plan at Vanderbilt and Duke and Northwestern and some of these schools. Stanford obviously does the same thing.
You know, we looked at a couple teams here. When you look at the Bears and Matt Nagy and certainly the Giants and Joe Judge, there could be a lot of coaching turnover. And, Michael, I don't know if it's more than the norm than what you've seen. What is the norm to you that you expect to see? What, about 7-8 a year that we see that type of turnover in the NFL?
You know, Dave, I often quantify it by saying, hey, look, you know, one-third of the workforce is always getting turned over.
Right.
One-third of the workforce is always getting turned over. And to me, there's a problem with the selection. It's a little bit like the Navy SEALs, right? They select 175 men and women to take part in Budge training. And at the end of the day, they get 30. And they've spent billions trying to figure out how they can cut the ratios way down. But they haven't been able to figure out that problem. And the NFL hasn't really addressed the problem why they keep hiring coaches and firing them. Because they don't develop leadership. They hire guys based on what the media thinks. Robert Salah, he's popular. Let's hire him. Is he a good coach? Does he know enough schemes? Mm. Is he prepared to handle this? You know, these NFL head coaching jobs are not easy. You better make sure you know what you're doing. You better have been around somebody who can teach you how to do it.
It's a great point, because it does feel like now a lot of owners, not saying it's the social media influx, but certainly media plays a large part of it, that they tell you that this guy isn't a good coach, and therefore they're out after 1 year, 2 year, 3 years. Is that why you're seeing so much turnover, Michael?
Oh, yeah. We have so many people that evaluate things that they don't even know what they're evaluating. Coaches, quarterbacks, I mean, you know, we go back to the Mac Jones debate. Let's have that again. Can't draft Mac Jones third. He's not good enough. You got to draft Trey Lance.
Didn't you see his body? Didn't you see the picture? He looked terrible.
Picture? That's the best.
That's the way they do it. When we come back, speaking of the best, Paul Allen's going to join us, and I think we might talk some Hall & Oates as well. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you to this special offer in the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game, and if either team hits a three-pointer, you're going to win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code VSIN200 when you make your very first wager. Enjoy NBA action like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use bonus code VSIN200 to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Dave Ross alongside Michael Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. And Michael, I know you are excited for our next guest. We're going to welcome in Paul Allen, the Vikings play-by-play announcer and radio host at KFAN 100.3 FM Minnesota. Paul, great to have you join us here on the Lombardi Line. I know you and Michael have a lot of catching up to do on a Hall & Oates, so I know you guys share that affinity there. But I got to ask you first and foremost, Paul, let's get back to Sunday before we get ahead to Thursday. That loss to the Lions at the end in the manner in which Mike Zimmer's defense couldn't hold there, what is the tone and the tenor of this team going into another must-win game on Thursday night?
What's going on there, boys? Michael, how you doing?
Wonderful, Paul. It's so good to have you. I appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much.
No problem. Great question. Sorry I'm staccato, but I'm quickly searching the history of the Minnesota Timberwolves and Utah Jazz series so I can couch you before I leave, because that's a big spot tonight for somebody. But back to last week, the mood is negative. I mean, the mood with the fans is negative, and you know, it's such a short week into that Steelers game tomorrow night. You know, you don't really get there's no time to dwell or just really absorb the negativity around the facility, you know, because they're already back at practice playing tomorrow. But the fact is, we lost to a team that hadn't won in 364 days. And the last home game they won was middle of November 2020, but no fans were there. So the last time fans saw their Lions win in that building was 26 months ago. So I mean, that whole thing right there just breeds contempt and negativity.
Yeah, no doubt. And Paul, you know, last week they were missing some key, Darrishaw, particularly the left tackle. I mean, and Kirk Cousins felt that missing him. Are they going to have some of these guys back this week to help them against Pittsburgh, and certainly T.J. Watt coming off the edge?
See, Michael, and that's the balance of the conversation, man, because, I mean, you know, you did lose to a Lions team that took the Ravens to the wire, got Justin Tucker from 66, that they had lost three games on the final play. So, you know, what everybody says about Dan Campbell and the Lions is true. We've seen it twice. I mean, he has them going tooth and nail with the talent or lack thereof that he has. But in that game, man, no Anthony Barr, no Eric Kendricks, no Patrick Peterson, also no Christian Darrisaw, as you said, and, of course, no Dalvin Cook. Then they lose Adam Thielen on the third play of the game. But, see, that's the balance, man. It's like all of that is real, as you know. But still, when you take the lead that late against them, man, it's still frustrating. When it comes to players coming back, Darrisaw, I don't believe, is practicing. Barr will play. I would bet Kendricks would. I would bet it. But I'm not sure. Patrick Peterson will play. Should be a humdinger tomorrow night, boys.
You know, Paul.
Yeah, it will be.
Absolutely. And, gentlemen, when I look at this and you look at the numbers here, it's staggering when you look at the profile of the Vikings offensively to defensively. Because offensively, boy, you're getting in the top 10 here. What, sixth in total yards, seventh in passing, first in turnovers, are only with nine. Points scored 11th. And then you flip those numbers to the defense, Paul, and you're in the 20s, and you're in the 30th ranked team defensively in total yards. What's going on? Because I know Kirk Cousins gets all the blame, but yet statistically that really does not seem to be a fair person to point the cast at, if you will.
No, Kirk's exactly who he's supposed to be from what the learned in the NFL knows he can be. And Michael would be one of those. If you protect Kirk, he'll kill any defense in the NFL. That's the end of the story. specifically mm-hmm. with Justin Jefferson, who's just off the charts. But, you know, like with no Christian Darrisaw, we hit on that left tackle. Darrisaw's really good. To have Darrisaw over to Brian O'Neill, that's a nice bookender moving forward as we cast our gaze. But for now, you know, if Christian doesn't play tomorrow night, and I think it's a long shot, you know, then Kirk, he'll get fidgety and he'll think about it, you know, which is kind of what Michael was alluding to. And he shared with me before on my radio show. So we've seen that a little bit without Christian and, you know, but Kirk's found a way to work around it and put up some good numbers, but we still do have a lot of plays, man, where it's 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 12. And, you know, we're throwing 8 yards behind the chains, expecting Alexander Mattison to miss two guys. Or make two guys miss.
Mm-hmm.
There just has been too much of that the entire season. Thus, offensively, defensively, to your question, Michael Pierce and Dalvin Tomlinson, they just played together last game, I think for the second or third time the whole year. So they're ballyhooed. I mean, they were brought in to be the new version of the Williams Wall. So if they can stay healthy, this rush defense, man, we've just been gouged by all kinds of running backs. That's supposed to get better. We'll see, man. Najee Harris, I just got done handicapping him for the game calling depth chart, 1,166 yards from scrimmage. But what's interesting with him, his running long is 20 yards. His receiving long is 25. So he ain't the fastest thing in the world, but if you get in front of him, you're going to get run over.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that's a great point. I mean, when you look at Najee, he doesn't make those explosive plays. He's like the body puncher. He's just going to wear you down. And if you can't stop him, you know, it takes the heat off of Ben. And this offensive line, typically for the Steelers, has not been great. But when Ben can have a running game behind him, then he can throw the football. And I think that's the challenge that awaits the Vikings. And with Pierce back, you got to believe you're going to be better.
But Michael, mesh that over, you know, from a handicapping standpoint to what you're looking at on the other side of the ball. I told you, Pierce and Tomlinson, okay, they're going to be all jacked up and wound up, and the crowd's going to be loud. And, you know, we got our purple color rush uniforms, which makes the defensive tackles look like the grape from the old Fruit of the Loom underwear commercial. That's always a spectacle you'll love tomorrow night. But, you know, Everson Griffin is out. Daniil Hunter's out for the year. And so now we're using Sheldon Richardson at defensive end. That's new. So just mesh that whole thing together. That may be a weakness for them, and they're going to be down to their fifth left guard. This cat's going to be getting his first start. But, I mean, unless we blitz, we're just not getting a ton of pressure. And Ben is hard to bring down in the first place because he's so big. And, you know, now I see what they did against Baltimore. Watch the whole thing. Very pesky. Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, I mean, and this Penn State rookie tight end with Harris. These guys are legit, man. And I just, you know, I'm surprised we're favored in this game. And you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, the Steelers on Thursday Night Football with Ben and Tomlin and all this equity, the cat with 16 sacks, that they should be favored, but it should be closer to a pick'em than it is. I think we're favored by a field goal. I thought we'd be favored by one and a hook.
Yeah, right now it is at 3 right now at BetMGM. Talking with Paul Allen, the Vikings play-by-play announcer. Follow him on Twitter at PA on the mic. And very quickly, Paul, Michael and I have talked a lot today about cultures in different NFL locker rooms, and certainly head coaches maybe that might be on the hot seat. It feels like Mike Zimmer might be on that hot seat in Minnesota at 5-7. It feels like a good 5-7, but still, you're 2 games under 500. What do you make of Mike Zimmer there in Minnesota?
That Mike has had an accomplished 8 years here. Never has been any form of a distraction or insubordinate in any way. And, you know, when things get a little wonky, specifically given we're still in the age of rage. Okay, this is the age of rage. So the vitriol is going to be louder than it should be, you know, so much so that it got so stupid at one point, you know, where I'm like, here's the deal. And I think Michael's going to appreciate this. I did the dichotomy over two segments of truly what goes into an in-season firing of a head coach. Okay. We ain't dealing with Bill O'Brien here and some things. John DeFilippo, offensive coordinator here, wouldn't run the ball, didn't even make it at the end of the year. It's embarrassing to fire somebody in the season. And Mike in no way ever would be in that category. Now, after the season, you know, they evaluate everything, and that's what they do every single year. So, but like an in-season firing with these rubes just crying for it on social media, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You don't embarrass a class man like that, you know, because you just took a bad beat against Lamar in Baltimore.
Echo it. Completely agree. Completely agree. There is some respect given to the man. He deserves it. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you so much.
I think I got a nice count for you tonight, by the way. I knew this, man. The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Gotta go, Paul. I'm sorry to cut you off. We really appreciate Paul being on with us.
No. Take the Wolves plus the points tonight. God bless.
Wolves plus the points. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.